Our scripture this morning comes from Jeremiah chapter 32. And what you'll hear are excerpts of parts of verse 1 through 14. If you want to read the full version, there's Bibles in the back. I invite you to do so. Some of it is a little difficult, but the message is very important. And so I'm going to bring you, these are the scriptural words, but maybe not all of them. So again, if you want to read the rest of it, I invite you to grab a Bible. The word came to Jeremiah, and at that time the army of the king of Babylon was besieging Jerusalem, and the prophet Jeremiah was confined in a court of the guard that was in the palace of the king of Judah. King Zedekiah of Judah shall not escape out of the hands of the Chaldeans, but shall surely be given into the hands of the king of Babylon. And he shall take Zedekiah to Babylon, and there he shall remain until I attend to him, says the Lord. Jeremiah said, "The word of the Lord came to me. Buy my field that is in Anatoth, for the right of redemption by purchase is yours." And I bought the field at Anatoth, and I signed the deed and sealed it and got witnesses and weighed the money on scales. Then I took the sealed deed of purchase. And in the presence I charged Baruch, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, take these deeds, both this sealed deed of purchase and this open deed, and put them in an earthenware jar, in order that they may last for a long time." This is the word of God for all people. Thanks be to God. If you would bow your heads and pray with me. Holy God, may the words of my mouth and the contemplations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. So as we have begun the morning together, we've been singing songs and praying and talking about maybe how some of our actions, the theme for today, some of our actions that we choose today can be helpful for the future. We have sung about letting our praises ring and letting our lights shine, which is one way to talk about how we can affect others. We have had a prayer and we've heard scripture from Jeremiah, all encouraging us to think about the choices that we make today and how those choices can make a difference in the future. In the message this morning, you'll hear from a few different voices, from a few stories. There's a story about learning from the actions of others, learning about looking forward, and a story about how we can be called to faithfully act for others in the future. Also, part of this morning will require all of you. As you walked in, you received a piece of our puzzle. Did you receive a piece of your puzzle? Go ahead and raise them up if you have a piece of the puzzle. All right, great. So what I'm going to do is invite you at different points during the service to come together, and we're going to build this puzzle together, and we'll see what it becomes when we all work together. We're going to build this scene. And although in the beginning, all right, tell me what this looks like so far. Yeah? A bunch of purple. Is that what you said? Yeah, that's pretty much what it looks like. All right, what do you think it looks like?
Nothing.
Nothing. Exactly. But as we add our pieces together, then it will come together. So even though we may add our piece and still not know what it is, as we make that act of faith together, we'll build something. And by the end, it'll look like more than purple or nothing. That's our hope, at least. I was thinking throughout this week all about the biblical stories of people who acted faithfully. Many times they act in faith not knowing exactly what will happen, but because they trust in God, they know things will be okay. We hear about Noah. Does anyone know what Noah built? Noah built the ark. That's right. He built it on dry land because God said to him that it was going to rain. And we think about Peter, who walked on water, and at least he got out of the boat, right? He trusted enough. And even when he was not so sure and he didn't trust as much, God was with him. Many times in our lives, we're also called to trust in God. And one way that we learn that lesson is to see the example of others. Sometimes we are reminded of the importance of faith and the importance of acting in love like God asks us to do so that we can learn from others. I'm going to invite my friend Kristen to come out and share a story, maybe a little bit about that.
Let's hope it's about that.
Yeah.
Let's hope that that's what my story is about.
I hope so.
Good morning, everybody. Well, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Kristen Snyder, and I am the Shine coordinator. So I basically just boss everybody around, and they take it really well, so I'm thankful for that. So when I moved back to Birmingham about 9 years ago now, I naturally looked for a church home, and I found my home here in the Shine service. At the time, it actually met in the evenings at 5 o'clock, so it was called SNA. And it was a wonderful community. We had dinner together, and it was a wonderful time to join the church and become part of this wonderful community. And as time grew on, I felt called to be not just sitting in the seats as you all are this morning, but to actually participate in the production of the worship service. And so I auditioned to sing, oh, and so luckily, the music director at the time, Joe, thought I could do that fairly well. So he said, come on, Kristen, you can sing with us. And I was thankful for that. And so I sang with the worship band for about a year and a half. But I felt this call in my life. I felt this pull to actually work for the church. I just wanted to really be involved, to be an employee, to be part of the team that puts together this specific service. And so as God likes to orchestrate plans, there was a position that came available. The pastor at the time was Chad Oyer, and he was looking for someone to help him with all the details of the service because he was involved with many, many other ministries in the church. And so he needed help making sure the bulletins were done and the chairs were set up and all those types of mundane tasks that are very important to creating a good worship service. And so I applied, and I had this really long, awkward interview as far as I was concerned, but it was wonderful. It was Chad. And as I started to work with him, the one thing that really stood out was how he always made the choice to ask questions without making judgment. I'm one of those people who had never done this type of job before. I had never worked in a facility like this where you have to talk to this department and get approval to do this and then do that. And so I made mistakes. I did things out of the regular order that they should have been done. And so instead of Chad, at the time, my boss, just believing whatever was said, oh, this was done wrong. This shouldn't have been done like that. She should have asked me. That was mine. This is not hers. But whatever it was, because I made mistakes. He always took the time to ask the question. He didn't assume anything. He would always come to me with an open mind, knowing that he had heard one side of the story, but that maybe I had a different side to the story. And he was always open. He reserved his judgment. He worked on faith that I had come to him for that position, and I was made for that position to work with him. And so I'm thankful that he took the time and stepped out in faith to not judge, to not make up his mind beforehand, but to ask the question, to know what had really happened. And then work together as a team. And I have found that that has served me well. It's allowed me to see people for who they are and not go into any encounter with anyone or to ask any question thinking that I already know the answer. And I think that takes a lot of faith to be willing to ask questions without thinking you know what somebody's going to say.
Thank you. Has there ever been a time when somebody else has made a choice that was helpful to you, even if they didn't know how much it could help you? Maybe like Pastor Chad, always being kind and gracious, and from that, us learning about grace. Our story from Jeremiah this morning teaches us a little bit about what it means to act faithfully. In our story, we find Jeremiah and the people of Israel in the middle of a battle that they are about to lose. And Jeremiah and the other leaders know that they are about to lose to the enemy and that the enemy is about to take their king, Zedekiah, away. The people of Israel are about to be taken in exile by Babylon. And they're going to be taken away from their home and to a new place in this scripture that we heard this morning. God tells Jeremiah that God promises that even though they will lose the battle, that the people of Israel will return to Jerusalem. In fact, he tells Jeremiah to buy a piece of land as a sign that they will return. So Jeremiah goes and he pays for the land and he takes a deed and he signs it and he puts a copy into a large stone jar, maybe a little bit like this. And he takes it and he puts it in the ground as a sign that he trusts that God tells him that they will return to that place and be in the land again. This story is a little hard to understand, but it's a story that teaches us that sometimes we have to make choices that we can't immediately see the outcome. Jeremiah and the people that were there, the people of Israel, were about to be taken away, and yet God was saying, make this action for when you come back, even before they had even gone. Sometimes we have to make choices that help us understand what will happen in the future, even if we can't always understand how that will be. That's a little confusing, so I think I'm going to ask my friend Miss Kelly to come up and share a story, and she might be able to help us understand that a little bit more.
So I had the great fortune of growing up and having my grandparents live just down the street from me, seven houses down the street. So as you can imagine, I was down at their house all the time. I slept in my mom's bedroom as a child. I had my own place at the table. I was at Grandma and Grandpa's house all the time. And I was very blessed to have a grandpa who taught me a lot of things. He was retired when I was born, so he had lots of time to spend with his two granddaughters. So my grandpa taught me how to polish my shoes. So I learned always to have nice-looking shoes. My grandpa taught me how to use tools. So I learned at about 4 years old what a socket wrench was and how to use a screwdriver and a drill and a hammer. And so I learned how to fix things at an early age. And my grandpa also taught me how to garden. He taught me how to plant things in the yard. And so when I would go down in the spring, we would till the dirt. So there was this great spot in their yard for a garden. And so we would get ready and we'd have our tools and we would till that dirt and we would get out all the rocks and the roots and anything left over from the winter that really shouldn't be there. We wanted that dirt nice and smooth and free of debris. And so we would till that dirt. And then we would either dig a hole, or if we were going to plant some seeds, we might dig a little trench. And we might plant some plants, or we might plant some seeds. And I will tell you, we planted the same things every year. We planted tomatoes. We planted green peppers. We planted cucumbers. We planted carrots. And we planted one of my favorites, green onions. And so we would dig those holes and dig those trenches, and we would put those seeds in, and we would pat the dirt down. And I loved playing in the dirt with my grandpa. It was so much fun. And of course, as a child, right, you expect to see results right away, right? Yeah, so of course, I'd come back the next day, and I'd say, Grandpa, where are our vegetables? We planted them yesterday, where are our vegetables? You know, we had done all the right things, right? We had made sure our dirt was all ready to go. We planted them just in the right spot. We covered them up. We even maybe got out the hose and we put some water on them. You know, and my grandpa would remind me that we needed to be patient. We needed to be patient because, yes, we had done the right things. We made sure that the garden was in the right area of the yard to get that beautiful sunlight. And we made sure to dig that dirt right and to put the correct seeds in and give them enough space to grow, and we'd water them. But he said that we did all that, and then we needed to be patient, and we needed to let God do his work with our vegetables. And so let me tell you, it's not easy to be patient when you're a child, right? You want to see the results of your hard work, of your dirt, of your planting. But we were patient. And each day as I would ride my bike or I'd walk down there, we would do the same things. We would water. We would check on our plants. We'd pull any weeds because we didn't want weeds in our garden, right? And we'd wait and we'd wait. And then all of a sudden in the middle of the summer, what would we see? we'd see a shoot of green coming out of the ground, or on a cucumber vine, we'd see a white flower. And my grandpa would tell me, this is the start. Be patient. This is the start of this vegetable growing. And so I'd be more patient. And lo and behold, usually at the end of July, beginning of August, right when everything's coming into bloom, there we'd have it. My favorite was to take a green onion right out of the ground and wash it off with the hose and eat it. I know it sounds yucky, doesn't it? It was delicious. Or to take a tomato right off the vine and wash it with the hose and eat it. To enjoy that wonderful, bountiful garden that we had planted, that we had done the work, but God did his work too. It was hard to be patient, but you know what? When we have faith and when we're patient and we plant those seeds and we take care of them, they will bloom and they will grow. We just have to be patient with that. So that's what I learned from my grandpa as a child in my garden. You know, we can't see our tulip bulbs in here today, can we? I planted 3 tulip bulbs while I was talking to you. Can't see them. I'm going to make sure that we put this in some sunlight this winter, and we're going to give it some water. And I have a feeling that come April or May, I have a feeling that we're going to see some shoots. I have a feeling that we're going to see some beautiful red tulips pop up this spring. Thank you.
Thank you. I think sometimes it's hard for parents and adults to be patient too sometimes. Maybe like the people of Israel who were anticipating leaving and God was telling them about coming back. I'm sure they were anxious about that. But sometimes we can be patient and trust in God. So what are other examples of what it looks like when we make real decisions and how those decisions have an effect on our future? Maybe for some of us, is anybody in school right now? Raise your hand if you're in school. Do you know that sometimes, although it's not really a lot of fun, when you do your homework, do you know what that is doing? It's practicing for the future. I would like to know everything about math right now. I don't think I did my homework enough. I didn't practice hard enough because I don't know a lot about math right now. But if I would have done my homework, it would have helped prepare me to know more about math in the future. What about, do we have anybody that plays an instrument out there? Raise your hand. All right. We have to practice our instruments sometimes, right? We have to be patient and practice, and when we practice and keep practicing, then in the future, if we continue to practice, we'll be better. I have to learn about sometimes when you're looking at what time you're going to go to bed. Sometime when you go to bed earlier, what you're really doing is preparing for the next day. We don't always remember that. I don't always remember that the night of, but getting good sleep. What about maybe writing a Christmas list? Who's planning on writing a Christmas list? Raise your hand. I am. Yeah? So maybe when we write a Christmas list, in some ways we're preparing, we're saying these are the things we might want in the future. What are some other examples about things that we may do now that would have an effect on our future? Anybody have any ideas? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah, if you get a bruise? Yeah, that's right. If you break your leg, it will affect you later. That's true. Any other examples? I see one hand back there. Can you say it louder? Eating healthy, that's right. I'm a little self-conscious of that one. But you're right. When we eat healthy now, it helps us in the future. That's a great example. Yeah? Brushing your teeth, that's another great example. When you brush your teeth now, it'll help you in the future. That's a great example. One example that I have this morning, has anybody ever seen a Bible like this? This is my third grade Bible that I received when I was in third grade, and I received it on September 24th, when I was in third grade. It was a little while ago. But when I was given this third grade Bible, one, it was so that I could read it that day, but also so that I could continue to read my Bible and learn more and more about God. And so when someone gave me this Bible as a gift, they were helping prepare me for the future. They probably didn't know I was going to be a pastor at that point. But no matter what, it was preparing me for the future so that I would know a little bit more about what God wants us to do. The Bible, as I learned by reading my third grade Bible, teaches us also that we have to do good things for others, and that's one way that we can honor God. God loves us so much, and because God loves us, God wants us to share that love with other people too. Sometimes this means that we can make choices that help others as well, not just the choices that help ourselves. Sometimes making choices today, even when we may not see the outcome in the future, is what God calls us to do, and to trust in God that when we do something kind for others, that it can have a big impact on the future. I want to invite my friend, Miss Kim, to come and share a really important story about helping others. Thank you.
Good morning. My name's Kim Bowyer, and I do work in children's ministry with all the kids in elementary school. Investing in the future is really important to me, and I did become a teacher after college. I would repeat on the challenging days in the classrooms. Today, I made a difference in the life of a child. When my husband and I joined this church 17 years ago, we were pulled in by the invitation to explore God's word, but also all the programming that is offered here at Birmingham First. And this was way before the CLC even existed. Being part of the community is really important for me to raise our children and building friendships and being fed spiritually. I didn't know in my younger years how important being here would be, and all the small acts of generosity would become so important to me when I was 40 years old. 4.5 years ago, I received devastating news. I had breast cancer. I was incredibly scared. I was numb and slow to make decisions. I was lucky because of the type of diagnosis. I was able to choose which type of treatment and surgery I was having. But it took so much faith and time to subside my anxieties and to come out of my fog to make decisions and be an active participant in life again. And finally, after several weeks, I made a treatment decision. Focusing on prayer and positivity truly helped me to curb my anxieties. My faith in God grew as I learned to depend on others, pray, and to be patient. I also vowed to kick cancer's butt, but I realized I no longer had control of my life, and this is when I gave my life to God. It was a true sense of calm at that time. And my outlook on life happened then. Give your worries over to God and live. Be present. I felt peace, and then I was open to the love that was already surrounding me. During this overwhelming time, during my diagnosis, I learned more about selfless giving and grace than I had ever known before. I had guilt about not being able to carry out some of my responsibilities, like all the things I did as a mom. And then here at church, I wasn't able to be a Sunday school teacher anymore. But I was in survival mode. The support of my friends and my church was amazing. All the phone calls, the visits, the food, flowers, support. We had so many incredible meals that our refrigerator was actually stuffed for weeks. I ate salmon and spinach salad for breakfast for a whole week because I had so much food. I had friends come over, pick up my kids, and take them on outings and field trips so that they wouldn't have to just kind of be in the house where I was recovering. I had a friend wash my hair because I couldn't raise my arms up any higher than this. And it was really memorable. When the pastor came to see me the morning after my surgery, wearing a bright pink button-down Oxford, I still believe he really did that on purpose. Now, when others are experiencing pain in their lives, I want to give my time to make sure that they are fed and loved. I've asked others if I can help out to make care pages for them, cook, deliver meals, listen with a very careful ear about, you know, their treatment choices, the gratitude that they can find still in their life. because I have been on the receiving end of some selfless generosity, I want to share it as well. A few months after several surgeries and, thank God, negative test results, I received a phone call to participate in a medical study. Yes, I can do that. Because of previous medical studies and the thousands of willing patients and participants before, I was able to move forward in my life and with my treatment with less invasive methods than previous patients had in, you know, prior to me. I now take out time to fill out questionnaires, do phone interviews. I've sent my DNA sample in through the mail, gave access to all my medical records, and even samples of my tumor cells, which still live in a warehouse somewhere. I have a friend here at church who is a breast cancer survivor and was a very strong presence for me during my battle. When I shared how my tumor cells were kept at this laboratory in Ohio and the scientists could identify the DNA of what caused it and then what the rate of reoccurrence could be and what was the best treatment, she was amazed because during her battle a couple years earlier, that wasn't a choice for her to know that information. I felt truly blessed, and still do. It is my hope that we can look inside of our lives to see the opportunities to invest in the future. It's as simple as a kind word, sharing a meal, or to share your life to help one another.
Thank you for being willing to share that story. What are some of the other ways that we can learn from what's happened in our lives and help others? There's many different ways. We can make choices that show our faith and commitment to God. We think about how those choices can help others and also what we can do today to make a difference for tomorrow. Part of what today is our Commitment Sunday. That's a time of celebration where we bring our commitments for the year of what we will give to God, what we will give to the church to enable ministry. And so this morning, what I would invite you to do is, in just a moment, come and bring your commitment cards and also your offerings for the morning, and you can bring it and put it in our jar so that we can give that little deed of our faith and trust in the work, the holy work of God that's in this place. When we talk about stewardship, we are stewards of so much in our lives, and again, each choice that we make can make a difference for ourselves and for others and can show a little bit of our faith. Let us give with faith, knowing that our commitments will continue to enable the ministries of this church, both for mission and worship, for children's ministry, for music, but also the commitments that we're making now are also commitments that we're making for the future to say even something that we don't even know will exist yet, we want to give a little bit to that, knowing that even though we may not see it immediately, that we are planting the seeds of the future of ministry in this church. Eternal God, as we go from this place, we take this action of faith, knowing that what you can do in this place and beyond this place is so beyond what we can comprehend. And so, God, in this moment, when we think of all of our actions, we know that you will move faithfully through us, through our actions, through our gifts, through our tithes, through our commitments, but also, God, in everything that we do, that we may honor you and show your love into the world. And so, God, on this beautiful day, as we think of the image of a tulip, as we think about what it means to be in ministry together at Birmingham First, God, enable these gifts for your purpose. In your holy name we pray. Amen.